it's good to be here tonight, and we're going to look in the Word of God tonight, and I believe we've got something from what God's been talked to me about for tonight's service. And so I want to talk about some of the one of the principles of increase. One of the principles of increase. How many of you could have some increase in your life? Anybody? How about finances? Could you have more money? Nobody needs any more money. Okay, I'll just take all the money. They don't need any more. I need it all to do what God's called me to do. But anyway, God is a God of increase. I want you to turn over in your Bible to Psalm 115 tonight. Psalm 115. And this is, you know, this is a time of obviously during this time of the year, we're thankful for what God has done in our lives. How many of you are thankful for what God has done for you? And we call this time, what do we call it? Thanksgiving. Now, we think of the thanks, but I want, you know, we talk about giving because God's nature is to give. He's a giving God. Think of it, for God so loved the world, what did he do? He gave. Our God is a giver. And so tonight, I want us to look at this aspect and then how we, as God's children, participate with God in this. Psalm 115, and we'll read verses 12 through 15. The Lord has been mindful of us. He will bless. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. The Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. You are blessed of the Lord, which made heaven and earth. And he goes on there to say that he gave the earth to the children of men. He gave it to us. The Lord shall increase you. Notice that. The Lord's been thinking about you. I like that part of that. Verse 12, the Lord has been mindful of us. Now, what's he been mindful to do? He's looking for ways, has already done several things to bless us. And he wants to bless us and to make us increase more and more, us and our descendants, and that we are blessed of the Lord. Glory to God. Now, one of the kingdom of God, God's kingdom, if you will, operates by certain principles or laws, if you will. Principles or laws. We're going to call them principles tonight. But God does things a certain way. How many of you know every state, every city has laws, every state has laws, and then we have federal laws. If any of you have traveled into another country before, how many of you know what? They have different laws in different countries, right? Well, we're part of the kingdom of God. And God's kingdom has certain laws or principles. In other words, ways that things are supposed to be done, ways things are not to be done. And we're going to talk about ways things that are to be done, the way God does it tonight. But in doing that, there are certain principles that will bring increase into our life. And number one, it flows around. I want us to go to Proverbs chapter 3, if you will. Proverbs, the third chapter. There's principles involved. There's action items involved with the laws and principles of God. And we want to find out what those are and cooperate with God. Now say, well, we're reading from the Old Testament. You know, God's the same. God hasn't changed, has he? Nope. He hasn't changed at all. His covenant with us has changed, and our relationship to him has changed through Jesus Christ. But God is the same. God does things in ways. But here in Proverbs 3, verse 9 and 10, let's read that. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9 and 10. Honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruits of all your increase. So shall your barns be filled with plenty, and your presses shall burst out with new wine. Now, he'd been talking here about trusting in the Lord with all of our heart, leaning not to our own understanding. See, doing it God's way. But I want you to notice that first part of verse 9, honor the Lord. Honor the Lord. Now, what does that mean? How do we honor the Lord? Well, to honor the Lord, that means we're going to put him first place in our life. We're going to make him number one. Or I'm going to put God's things in front of my things. Now, how many of you know that's not how the world lives, right? Right? That's not how we were trained before we came to Christ. We were trained what? Better take care of number one. And who was number one? Three of us, me, myself, and I. We were all number one, okay? And so I was going to take care of that. But God's way of doing things is to honor him, to put God first place. So honor the Lord. Now, he quite clearly here says with your substance. He's talking about the material possessions that we have. Would include money, would include other things. But put God first place, okay? Now, inside of that law or that principle, if you will, there are certain things, and I just want to look at one of them tonight, and that is this principle. We can honor the Lord by giving to those that have need. One of the ways in the Bible, not the only way, but one of the ways that we honor the Lord is by giving to those that have need. And so we're here in Proverbs. Let's run a few scriptures here. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 14. Giving to those that have need. Now, I've heard people say, well, you know, I'm the one that has need. That's true, but I'll guarantee you almost anybody can find somebody that has something that they need more than you do. Almost everybody can find somebody that has a need that you don't have that you can help meet. And sometimes it's not just, we're talking in this, but you know, this works in every area of life. Some people just need a good handshake. Some people need a pat on the back, right? But then again, if we have it within our means, it's not, you know, in the book of James, it said, you know, he said, look, if you tell somebody that is hungry and cold, just tell them be warm and be filled. What have you done? But if you clothe them and feed them, then you've done something, right? But sometimes, you know, that's where we are. You just have a kind word. You just have a pat on the back, whatever it is, to help somebody. Now here in Proverbs 14, look what it says here in verse 31. He that oppresses the poor reproaches his maker. But he that honors him, honors who? Honors God. Now remember, what are we supposed to do? Honor the Lord. So he says, he that honors him, the Lord, has mercy on the poor. Has mercy on the poor. Now here, you know, I like in Swahili, the word for poor or poverty is maskini. It's like being skinny, living on the skinny. Okay? But have mercy here. Not to oppress, but to have mercy on. Now, mercy isn't just, how many of you know mercy is more than pity? Mercy means you're going to do something about it. I'm going to go into action somehow, all right? To have mercy on the poor, he says, is to honor the Lord. Look at Proverbs 17. Proverbs 17. See, we're talking about ways that God's principles have increased. Number one is to honor the Lord. And one of the ways we honor the Lord is by helping those that have need. Not oppressing those who are without, but helping those. Now here in Proverbs 17, verse 5, says, whoso or whoever it is that mocks the poor reproaches his maker. He that is glad at calamity shall not go unpunished. Here again, this idea that God is concerned about those that have need, those who are without. God is concerned. Now, the thing about it is, I think a lot of times we get the idea, we'll just pray to God, and God's just going to somehow, I don't know how, just going to somehow meet that need. Well, let me ask you a question. Is God going to rain down money from heaven? Are there any dollar bills in heaven? No. Right? Now remember, he says, the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof, and he's given the earth to the sons of men. He's given the earth to us. Everything that we'd ever need is here on this earth. So God's not going to rain it. If he did, it'd be counterfeit money anyway, wouldn't it? It would be, because he can't do it. There's no dollar bills. There's no whatever currency there is in the earth. There's none of that in heaven. So how's God going to do it? How's God going to help the poor? How's he going to help those that have need? He's going to do it through us. It's our responsibility. It's part of why we're still here on this earth. Amen. You say, well, if I just had a lot of money, then I could. No, you start where you are. Amen. Amen. Starting where you are. We're going to see that here in just a little bit. But it's not according to what you don't have. It's according to what you do have. That's good news right there. Some folks, you're always going to wait. No. Well, you think you're going to win the lottery and then you're going to give? No. No, you won't give then either. If you're stingy now, you'll be more stingy then. But for the person who wants to honor the Lord, what does increase do? Increase gives you a greater ability to be a blessing. Amen. See, if I make it about me, then I'm going to miss it. Well, I want to increase so I can have, all this stuff. Well, build you some barns, I guess. But Jesus said, he told the one guy, he said, go build your barn, but you don't even know tonight you're going to die. And what's going to happen to all that stuff in those barns? Somebody else is going to get it, aren't they? Yep. Amen. Now, God doesn't care. Listen, you can drive as nice a car as you want to believe God for. You can live in a beautiful house. You can have all those things. Just don't let any of those things have you. Amen. This attitude here, this idea. All right, let's read in Proverbs 19. See, it's not just thanks, it's giving. We're givers. God's a giver. God wants us to be involved with helping those. Here, look at Proverbs 19:17. Now, I admit to you, I haven't looked at these things in a while. I used to have all these scriptures marked in my Bible, and I don't have them marked in my Bible any longer. And I think the Lord is I came here to preach to myself tonight, and you get to listen. How's that sound? Is that all right with you? Proverbs 19:17. He that has pity upon the poor lends unto the Lord, and that which he's given, he will pay him again. Now, notice how the Lord looks on it. Now, remember, we're talking about the laws of increase. We're talking about honoring God. One of the ways we honor God, we read there in Proverbs 14, was to have mercy on the poor. And when we do that, when we do have mercy on the poor, notice what God takes it as if we have loaned it to him, and he's gonna pay us back. Well, that's a good deal. How many of you know God pays his debts? And the thing about God is he always overpays. Amen. Hallelujah. He's not just, you think about it. The Bible talks about my cup. What does it do? It runs over. Right. Not just fills it. God makes it overflow. We're not just conquerors. We're what? More than conquerors in him. Do you remember when Jesus told the disciples, or Peter, he said, Peter, let's go out and for a catch. Peter said, look, master. Basically, what Peter's is saying, he said, look, preacher, I'm a professional fisherman. I was out all night last night. We didn't catch anything. I'm in here. I'm tired. I'm ready. It's daytime. You can't catch fish on a clear lake in the middle of the day with a net. They'll see it and they'll scatter. But just because you said it, let's go try. Well, they go out there. Now, Jesus didn't say, let's go out fishing. He said, let's go for a catch. Right? So they go out there and throw that net in there, and they get so many fish in the net, it starts to sink their boat. They have to call their partners over. It's so many fish in the net, it starts sinking their partner's boat. They just barely got it in. Now, you think God would know that how many fish would sink the boat? Well, that's how God is, though. He always gives more than enough. More than enough. Amen. All right. But it says, he that has pity on the poor lends to the Lord. And that which he's given, he will pay him again. Proverbs 21. Let's look at verse 13. See, there's some statements here that are made that we can cause increase to come our way by honoring the Lord. Or we can shut our increase off by not honoring the Lord. And one of the things we don't ever want to do is stop our ear to the cry of those in need. He says here, verse 13, whoso stops his ear at the cry of the poor, he also shall cry himself, but shall not be heard. Wow. Amen. I don't want to put myself personally or put my family in position to where our cry is not heard. Now, one of the ways we guarantee that is by not stopping our ears to the cry of the poor. Now, what am I talking about? You know, what does that mean? That every person I see, I got to give money to? I'm not saying that. We need to be led by the Lord. You know, and sometimes there's legitimate needs. You can always research and find legitimate needs. But there's sometimes the Lord just will lead you. Hey, help this person out. Give them something. Amen. Right? And there's a lot of creative ways. I read here the other day where somebody took $1,000 and went into Walmart and started paying off people's layaways. Hey, amen. Yeah, see, just didn't know, just took the money in there and started doing it. Amen. Somebody here recently, I saw the story, but I didn't recognize the guy's name. Somebody out there, now how many of you know in California, they've been having lots of fires, and a lot of people lost their house. Somebody wrote $1,000 checks to just a whole bunch of people that had lost homes and lost things and been out of school and that type of thing. See, there's a lot of creative ways that we can get involved with things, all right? Look at chapter 22. Now, it's interesting that this subject is in the Word of God so often. That tells me something, that it's important with God. See, to honor the Lord is to put importance on what the Lord puts importance on and put other things aside or a little bit less. In other words, put God's things first, amen. Right? Chapter 22, verse 9. He that has a bountiful eye shall be blessed. For he gives of his bread to the poor. Notice that to have a bountiful eye means you're going to be blessed. That's what we read in Psalm 115. We're blessed of the Lord, and he's going to make us to increase. Well, part of that is because we're givers. Say, I'm a giver. See, he gives of his bread to the poor. It was 2017, right? We were over in Kenya in 2017. And Amanda was working with the children that were there, and we're having adult, but the kids were out, and it came lunchtime. And so the kids, they had school children there. And so the lunch was for the school children, but there was some of the kids from town there. And they gave them a plate, you know, what it had rice and beans, I think, in it. Had rice and beans, they were eating. But the kids from the school there, if there was another kid there that wasn't there, see, the program was to feed them. If there was someone else, they'd have them sit next to them, and they'd let them eat off their plate too. Little kids, see, little kids, they haven't been trained to be stingy yet. Right. Amen. Sitting there feeding these other kids. I mean, this is the one meal they're getting that day, and they're letting somebody else eat it, part of it. See, they're given of their bread. Given of their bread. Well, how much more should we, who've got lots of bread, be given of our bread? Same chapter. Look down there at verse 22. Now look at this. He says, rob not the poor because he's poor, neither oppress the afflicted in the gate, for the Lord will plead their cause and spoil the soul of those that spoil them. I don't know about you. I don't want on that side of God. I don't want on the side of God taking vengeance for someone else and revenging someone else. Amen? But if you want to get there quick, be stingy and be mean towards those that have need and oppress them. Amen? Hallelujah. Listen. I'm not saying you need to go out and start a new ministry tonight, and you need to, you know, by tomorrow you've got it all and you're going to give everything away that you have away. I didn't say that. But I am saying that we need to make sure that we are participating in this way by being a blessing to those that have need. All right? Let's see. Go to chapter 28. Proverbs chapter 28. See, here again, how many was that? See, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 references just from the book of Proverbs on this subject. And we're going to look at some New Testament scriptures just so we can see that this is not something that God's done away with just because we have a New Testament. Proverbs 28, Look at verse 27. He that gives unto the poor shall not lack. How many of you like that part? Amen. I like that part. He says, but whosoever walk, he said, but he that hides his eyes shall have many a curse. Well, how many of you know the curse is in the earth? You just walk around and it's here. But we're redeemed from the curse of the law. So what's he saying here? Well, he's saying that you can open yourself up to things if you're not careful here. And one of the ways by doing that is by not helping those who are poor, those that have need. He that gives unto the poor shall not lack. He that hides his eyes shall have many a curse. Now, why don't you go to Mark chapter 10. One day, a young ruler, and we call him the rich young ruler, came to Jesus. And he wanted to know what he could do to inherit eternal life. And I want us to read this in Mark chapter 10. We'll begin in verse 17. He says, and when he was gone forth in the way, there came one running and kneeled down and asked him, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, why do you call me good? There's none good but one, and that is God. How many of you know that's true? Amen. If it's good, it had to be God. Amen. That's helped me. That's helped me. I didn't always understand that principle, but boy, once I found it, it's really helped me. And I, you know, for these young folks over here, a lot of them are Rhema students, it's helped me in ministry immensely. Once I quit trying to be good and just let God be good, then I've advanced. But when I was trying to be good, I don't know what was happening. And what do I mean trying to be good? Oh, that was good, brother. See, every time I just live for that. Oh, that was good, brother. But see, that's what this man came to Jesus and said, good master, good teacher. He said, whoa, don't call me good. Now, how many believe Jesus is probably the best teacher that ever lived on the earth, right? He's the best preacher that ever was and still is. But he said, don't call me good. There's only one good. That's my Father, which is in heaven. And he says, you know the commandments. Don't commit adultery. Don't kill. Don't steal. Don't bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor your father and mother. And he answered and said unto him, master, all these I have observed from my youth. And Jesus, beholding him, loved him. Now notice here, he loved him and said, one thing you lack. Boy, I've never had the Lord ever tell me it's just one thing you lack. Amen. But only one thing. Sell whatever you have, give to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven, and come take up the cross and follow me. Now there's a lot to this right here, what just happened here. Jesus, first of all, notice, offered him a position with him. Come follow me. He's offering him, actually, probably, if I had to guess, and I don't know, I'm happy. We can wait till heaven for Jesus to tell you I'm right about this, all right? But I think here, this is not thus saith the Lord. This is Tad's opinion, which I don't like to do this a whole lot, but I'll give it here. I think he was looking for a replacement for Judas, who was stealing money. He's the treasurer. He's stealing money out of the back. Here, this man's upright. But he said, you only lack one thing. And he's asking him, go all in on this. Honor the Lord. Put God first in everything in your life. Amen. Okay? And the man, verse 22 says, he was sad at that saying and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. Someone pointed out, they think the possessions had him. Now, Jesus wasn't telling him, you got to be poor to follow me. Amen. He didn't tell him that. And so take your religious pencil eraser and erase that Jesus told the man, you got to be poor to follow me. That's not what he's saying to him. But I want you to notice what happened here. Let's keep reading. Jesus looked round about and said to his disciples, how hardly shall they that have riches enter in the kingdom of God? And the disciples were astonished at his words. Now listen, if these were a bunch of old poor boys, like a lot of people think, that Jesus didn't have anything, you know, oh, Jesus didn't have a place, the Son of God didn't have a place to lay his head. Well, he's traveling around everywhere. He's got lots of places to lay his head. Okay? But anyway, if these guys are poor, if they're like, and Jesus said how hard it is for rich people to enter into heaven, they're going to start cheering. Yes, amen, brother. That's right, brother. That's good preaching, Jesus. No, but they're astonished. That shocked them. Amen. See, because when you hang around God and you do what God's called you to do, you're going to be blessed. You're going to increase. You're not going to be doing without. So it shocked them. Now, keep reading here. But Jesus answered, children, how hard is it for them that... Now, notice here. Here's the key. Trust in riches to enter in the kingdom of God. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of the needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And they were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, who then can be saved? And see, that doesn't sound like a bunch of poor folks, does it? All right? That's not necessarily my message tonight, but I want you to see that. Jesus looked upon them and said, with men it is impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible. How many of you are glad about that? Now let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Now here, in 2 Corinthians 9, he's talking to them about finishing up. Through chapter 8 and chapter 9, finishing up the offering that they were receiving to help support their Christian brothers in Jerusalem. Because hard times, I mean, a lot of persecution had happened. And a lot of the Christians there had lost everything. And they're in great need. All right, so here again, this is helping someone in need, right? So that's what he's talking to them about, and that's the context of this. Now, we pull this out a lot of times to make it say other things, and it's okay, but we've got to be careful that we don't take it totally out of its setting. He's talking here about giving in an offering to help those who have a need. So let's look here in verse 6, 2 Corinthians 9, 6. I'm going to read it first from the King James. I might take a few of these and thous and ETHs off, but. He says, but this I say, he which sows sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He which sows bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Now, let me stop here. There's so much. He's not making a case for, so you need to be given more. He's just talking about farming. How many of you, if you sow a little bit of seed, you're going to get a little bit of crop, right? If you sow a lot of seed, you're going to get a bigger crop, aren't you? That's all he's talking about. All right. He says, every man, because here's what it gets, verse 7. Every man, according as he's purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. Glory to God. As it is written, he has dispersed abroad, he's given to the poor, his righteousness remains forever. Now he that ministers seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food and multiply, that sounds like increase, doesn't it? Your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. What do you mean righteousness? Increase the fruit of your righteous act of helping those that have need. It said, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. For the administration of this service not only supplies the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. I want to read this also from the Amplified Bible, starting in verse 6. Remember this, he who sows sparingly and grudgingly will reap sparingly and grudgingly, and he who sows generously that blessings may come to someone will also reap generously and with blessings. Now he puts a little bit different spin on it Let each one give as he has made up his own mind and purpose in his heart, not reluctantly or sorrowfully, or under compulsion. Now, what does that mean? That means when the preacher stands up and said, everybody in here needs to give a big offering. Everybody in here, who's going to give 100? Who's going to give? See, when you start, we're not auctioning off the offering here, okay? You're not buying God's favor. You're not to compel people, and I'm not to be compelled to give. In other words, you're not forcing me. It's how I've already decided in my heart to do it. All right? Do you understand that?
Yes.
All right. If you watch a little Christian TV, you see a whole lot of different things going on there. So you got to be careful. Yeah. And there, I want to make that very clear. Not of compulsion, he said. He goes on to say, for God loves he takes pleasure in, prizes above other things, and is unwilling to abandon and to do without, a cheerful, joyous, prompt to do it giver whose heart is in his giving. Glory to God. And God is able, now I love this verse right here. God is able to make all grace, every favor and earthly blessing come to you in abundance, so that you may always and under all circumstances and whatever the need be self-sufficient, possessing enough to require no aid or support, and furnished in abundance for every good work and charitable donation. What does that mean? You don't have to go to anybody for help. Because God's made, he's made his grace abound towards you. Hallelujah. Now see, God's ways of doing things are higher than our ways of doing things. They're better than our way of doing things. And if we'll do things God's way, it's possible to live this way. Amen. And so, but we haven't heard a whole lot about this, and so we don't think about it. Now, I want to read this from the Living Bible also. So I really like this here in the Living Bible. I'm going to go through verse 6 through verse 12 here. But remember this, if you give little, you'll get little. A farmer who plants just a few seeds will get only a small crop. But if he plants much, he'll reap much. Everyone must make up his own mind as to how much he should give. Don't force anyone to give more than he really wants to, for cheerful givers are the one God prizes. God is able. How many of you know that's true? Say it. God is able. God is able to make it up to you by giving you everything you need and more, so that there will not only be enough for your own needs, but plenty left over to give joyfully to others. Hallelujah. See, I want to get to that place. I'm not there right now, but that doesn't mean I'm believing God to get to that place where when a ministry says, well, we need $50,000 to build this or to do this project or to do this thing. And then my only question is, Lord, do you want me to write the check for all of it? How much do you want me to take care of that? Amen. That's my goal. Yes. Not that I can, just have someone. I want to be able to send the gospel. I want to send anybody that wants to go all over the world to preach the gospel. Right. He says, as the scripture says, the godly man gives generously to the poor. See, that's what we were talking about, right? His good deeds will be an honor to him forever. For God, who gives seed to the farmer to plant, and later on good crops to harvest and eat, will give you more and more seed to plant and will make it grow so that you can give away more and more fruit from your harvest. See, what does increase cause me to do? It gives me the ability to be a greater blessing. Amen. To others. Yes, God will give you much so that you can give away much. And when we take your gifts to those who need them, they will break out into thanksgiving and praise to God for your help. So two good things happen as a result of your gifts. Those in need are helped, and they overflow with thanks to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Now notice this. The two good things have nothing about you. Has nothing to do with you. Has nothing to do with me. It's the person God helped and God gets thanked. Yeah. Amen. Notice that. See, so in this, and we're talking about increase. We're not talking about drawing attention ever to ourselves. Amen. It's never about me. It's about helping people and giving God praise. Amen. Amen. That's why sometimes in this, Jesus talked about, he said, if you're going to give alms, which is given to the poor, he said, sometimes do it in secret so nobody knows. Exactly. See, don't draw attention to yourself. Always weigh that out. Always, well, okay, who's going to get honored here? Am I honoring the Lord with this? Or am I trying to draw attention to myself? Because the religious leaders in that day, they'd blow a trumpet every time they went to give their offering. Why? So people look at him. Amen. See, that's not God's way of doing things. Now, sometimes it's going to have to be known that you did it, but you're not doing it to bring praise to you. Anytime that comes back, just always point it back to God. Well, I wouldn't have it if God hadn't given it to me. I can't give anything God hadn't given me because I don't have anything that didn't come from God. Right? Amen. We can always be thankful for that. Well, There's some other scriptures here, but I want to read one more. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10. Let's end with this one tonight. I hope you get where I'm coming from tonight. Amen. At this time, let's not forget to honor God by helping those that have need. Not just in this time of the year, but I'm talking about all the time. See, living this way. To put God first is not just to do it at Thanksgiving and Christmas. It's to do it all the time. Putting God first in every area and all the time. Here in Hebrews 6, verse 10, God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. You want to be unforgettable to God? Help other people. God will not forget your work and your labor of love. See, why? Why do I want to give? Because God loves that person. And I want to show them God's love from me. I want to show God's love to them through me. Jesus died for every person on the earth, did he not? Amen. You see, a lot of times you're given, it's not going to be, you know, obviously we should take care of those in our own house. The Bible says if you don't, you're worse than an infidel. But then on the other hand, sometimes you're going to give and help people who don't even know God. And that's all right. Give them a good God bless you in there. You could even tell them, hey, God bless me with this. I want to bless you with it. Just walk away. Trust God. God's word will not return void. Amen? Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight. We thank you tonight for your precious word. Father, your word is a light into our path and a lamp into our feet. Father, we thank you tonight that you are a God of increase and you want to increase us more and more, us and our children, our descendants after us. Father, so we thank you tonight that your principles of increase, as we follow them, the one that specifically tonight, giving to the poor, helping those that have need. Father, we thank you. They bring opportunities our way. Father, thank you for supplying seed for us to sow. Thank you, Father God, for giving us creative ideas on how to help others. And Father, we give you all the praise and all the glory for it. In Jesus' mighty name, amen, amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, before we leave tonight, we're about ready to close here. If there's anybody here tonight and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you do not want to leave here tonight without making Jesus Lord of your life. Amen. His ways are so good. He's been so good to us. He loves you so much that he sent Jesus to die on your behalf, to take your place. And I'm going to ask you, Brother Greg, you got that tonight? By sending him. If you want a prayer, you come see Brother Greg or whoever else. Anthony, you got it? Okay, Anthony's going to take care of that tonight. He does that for Pastor Hagen on the road. And so we'll take care of that tonight, these young kids over here. Hey, Anthony's getting married Saturday. Oh, boy, praise the Lord. Amen. Now, don't go up and ask him about that. But he said, but if you need prayer for anything, come over here and see Anthony when we dismiss it. Do we have first-time guests, Miss Jane? Okay, why don't you go with Miss Jane here or whoever and go. We got a special gift from Pastor Mrs. Hagen and Craig, the Hagen family. And if you go with them, you'll get that. And we're so glad. Give them a hand clap for coming tonight, our first-time guest. Praise the Lord. Okay. In the cafe. The Hagen Christmas cards out there in the cafe, everybody, we want you to sign it, all right? One for the Hagen, one for Pastor and Mrs., one for Craig out there. So go by there out in the cafe and sign that. Praise the Lord. Amen. Cliff, anything else you know of? Looks like we're good. Everybody stand up. Stand up. Amen. Well, if you shake hands with somebody else and tell them that you love them in the name of the Lord, then you can be dismissed. All right? God bless you.